What is the realm in which we are saints? We are saints in Christ Jesus. What is it that makes us a saint?
The word saint comes from the Greek term meaning to be set apart for dedication to the interests or expectations of God. What a great privilege. Hello, I'm Bill Wright, and today on the Truth Pulpit, Pastor Don Green concludes his series titled, Set Apart. And Don, to be clear, being a saint in Christ Jesus isn't something we can earn, is it?
Bill, that's a great question. You know, there are some segments of professing Christianity that think if you work extra hard, you could achieve to a level of a saint that not too many people attain to. That's not the biblical picture at all. The Bible presents the picture that every Christian is a saint, meaning that every Christian has been set apart by God in the Lord Jesus Christ. And because every Christian is a saint, and then we understand that it's not a position that we earn by our works. Rather, salvation is by grace through faith alone in Christ alone. And so, my friend, if you are a Christian, you are a saint. And if you are not a Christian, you can't buy it with money. You have to come humbly to the Lord Jesus Christ by a repentant faith, seeking Him to save you from your sins, that you might enter safely into heaven when you die.
Thanks, Don. And friend, there's much more to learn as our teacher unpacks this one powerful verse, Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. So let's join Don now in the Truth Pulpit.
Beloved, just think about it in spatial terms, if this helps. Those of you who are visual thinkers, kind of like I am, it helps to think this way. Picture a realm which is the world and you in it before you were a Christian, and the realm of Christ Jesus. Christ comes and saves you. He plucks you up out of that world, out of the world, out of that realm, and moves you over and puts you in His realm, where you now exist to serve Him who saved you in the realm over which He rules. And to serve and advance His interests, and to subordinate every thought, every desire of yours to that greater purpose. We'll talk about more about how that plays out at the end of the message if I don't forget to do it. We want to be thinking about this in terms of separation. And if you've never really thought about it in these terms, then what a blessing of grace should be exploding on your mind and cheering and encouraging your heart to realize that God personally plucked you out, that Christ died for you by name in order to make you His own, to say, you will be mine. You will serve my purposes henceforth and forevermore. And to the truly redeemed heart doesn't resent that at all. The truly redeemed heart rejoices at the prospect of having such a noble, lofty purpose for which to live throughout all of eternity. I am His, and He is mine. And suddenly, the way that the world buffets you, the way that perhaps those close to you have disappointed you, even betrayed you, suddenly you have a whole new purpose on that. Yeah, that stings, that hurts, that saddens me. But there is something greater, more transcendent, more lasting, secured by the love and the blood of Christ for which I live. And therefore, I can transcend the earthly disappointment here for the sake of the greater purpose that has been bestowed on me by my benevolent Christ. The one who is good to me. The one who loved me and gave Himself up for me. The one who represents me in heaven as my elder brother and names me before the throne of grace as His own. And I belong to Him, and He is mine, and I am His, for Him to use and dispose of as He sees fit. If that means I dwell in obscurity, hey, I dwell in obscurity. That's where I'll serve Him. If He appoints me to obscurity, I will serve Him in obscurity with gladness. He appoints me to poverty, I'll serve Him in poverty. In riches, the outer circumstances start to diminish in importance when you realize that whatever you are doing, whatever life you have been appointed to live that life set apart for whatever Christ would have for you in that realm. And that changes things, beloved. No longer are you viewing Christ as the one who has to fix every earthly problem, and that's his job. All of a sudden, you start to accept the fact, okay, these are the circumstances he's given me. I'm set apart to live for him in this realm, in these circumstances, and I'll gladly do it. If you're a young person, you're in your teens, your early 20s, you're really just starting life in one sense. I know it doesn't seem that way, but from my perspective, it is. You're just entering into the adult realm where you're able to make your own decisions about what you're going to give your life to and what you're going to pursue in life. You have the blessed privilege at this moment, in that brief window of time, to step back and say, how could I give my life to fully serve the interests of my master? And maybe that's different from the career-oriented things that I had originally chosen in life. Or the things, the career orientation that I walked into this room with. I'm set apart to serve Christ. Maybe I should rethink what that means before I take too many more steps down the road that I'm taking. Let me think about how I could give a life over to serve His interests. That doesn't mean everybody has to go out and be a missionary. Doesn't mean everybody has to go out and go into ministry. It sure is worthwhile to ask that question and to let life be something more than just seeing how much you can get out of it. At what point, beloved, at what point does it become a point where you say, oh, I need to lay down my earthly aspirations for the sake of something else? There's a realm where I could serve Christ if I would just let go of my earthly aspirations and serve Him. And devote myself to Him, no matter what it costs me. There's a place for that in the Christian life. It starts to affect who you view as a potential spouse. Can I serve Christ with this person? Or is this person so wrapped up in the world that they're just going to be a drag on me seeking Christ? See, all kinds of good, profitable questions and motivations are brought to the fore when you start to realize that you are a saint in Christ Jesus, separated unto God to serve His purposes. So, let's go to point number two. Go back to Philippians. Go back to Philippians. And as you do, let me just add one final passing observation about this meaning of saints. When Paul, you'll remember that the church at Corinth, the Corinthian church, was quite a mess. They had all kinds of problems and bad behavior, and they were just an unholy mess within the church. Unholy in the sense that they were just so very carnal and sinful. And yet, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2, Paul could address them as the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Corinth. They were not saints because they were behaving so well. He had to write long, long chapters to correct them. They were saints who had been set apart for the purposes of God, who now had to be instructed to leave behind their sinful ways in order to advance the purpose for which they had been saved. They were set apart. They were falling short of that lofty position, and therefore Paul writes to them, but he doesn't say you're not saints. They were saints. And that just goes to show that it's about being set apart for a purpose, not necessarily a reflection on how you are fulfilling it. Philippians chapter 1, point number 2 here. And we'll just, in the clever way that I title my points these days, point number 2 is saints in Christ Jesus. What is the realm in which we are saints? We are saints in Christ Jesus. What is it that makes us a saint? Look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 1 with me again. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi. They are saints in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? What does it mean to be a saint in Christ Jesus? Well, one commentator explains it like this. He says that this is a phrase indicating incorporation. Believers are united with Christ in His death and resurrection. And the new corporate life that they have entered into is their share in His resurrection life. To be in Christ Jesus is to be, is the sphere in which the Christian lives and moves. End quote. Christ died and rose again. We who have come to Christ by faith are united with Him in that death and resurrection, as is pictured in the ordinance of baptism by immersion. And so it means that we have been brought into the life of Christ. We share the life of Christ by the indwelling Holy Spirit. There's a common life principle that is ours in Christ. There's also this sense in which Christ is our representative. He represented us at the cross when He died for us. He represents us in heaven. He is the one who represents us before God, and we are in Him. And so we are united with Christ. We are joined with Him in such a way that our confidence is in Christ Jesus, Philippians 1:26. Our glory is in Christ Jesus. Our peace is in Christ Jesus. Our needs are met in Christ Jesus. Our future prize is the heavenly call in Christ Jesus. Our attitudes toward one another are in Christ Jesus. You see, beloved, the whole of life is determined for you by the reality of who Christ is and what He has done for you. This one who died and rose again and ascended into heaven to save you from your sins brings you into union with Himself. You are in Christ. You are identified with Him. Scripture says that because He lives, you will live also. The course of His life, entering into death and coming out on the other side and being glorified, that is your destination now. That is what belongs to you. That is what will happen to you. If He tarries, you will die, but you will come out on the other side. You will live again because this is what Christ has done, and everyone that is in Him will share in that resurrection life. You are seated at the right hand in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, Scripture says. And that reality of being in Christ is the reality in the realm in which we are saints. We are set apart into a realm where Christ has lived, died, and risen again. And that is the realm that defines our existence. Everything is determined by that. That same writer goes on to say, Christians are saints because of the new relationship into which they have been brought by God in Christ Jesus. Listen carefully, beloved. It is not because of their own doing or by works of the law, but because of what Christ has done. They are set apart for Him and His service. You are a saint. You are set apart because of what Christ has done in dying for you, in living for you, in being raised from the dead for you. And He has shared all of the benefits and all of the reality of that with you. And by the person of the indwelling Holy Spirit, the very life principle that empowered and enabled Christ to do that on earth now resides within you. And so there is such a close identity with Christ that we are said to be in Him, And to be in Him is to be separated from the world. To be in Him is to be set apart for His service. And so, beloved, the reality of being a saint, the reality of being set apart for His service, is the defining nature of your purpose in life. Listen to me carefully. Whatever time that you have, whatever resources you have, whatever mind you have been given, whatever spouse, whatever family, whatever job, whatever abilities you have, beloved, hold the thought there for just a moment. Those things are not parallel items in your life to being a Christian. It's not that there's being a Christian and you do certain things because you're a Christian, and then you set that aside and you move over and then you devote yourself to your job or your family or these other things. No. Your time, your resources, your mind, your spouse, your family, your job, your abilities, everything else about your life, all of those things are integrated into one great surpassing reality. You have been separated from the world into Christ, and the totality of those things, you gather all of those up, and you understand that all that I have represented in those things is set apart that I would be serving under Christ and fulfilling His purpose in what He has given to me. The life He has given to me in all of its details, in all of its opportunities and all of its disappointments, all of its relationships, I am set apart to serve Christ in every one of those areas. And those things are given to you to devote yourself to spend, to use for His purposes, so that Christ and His purposes become the great unifying theme of every aspect of your life. You can see how foolish it is and how misguided it is to think that being a Christian is simply you coming to church on Sunday and then just doing whatever you want during the rest of the week. In what sense is a person set apart for the purposes of Christ, if that's their mindset? Christ is not one checkbox, one box to check in the midst of a lot of other things. Christ is the checkbox. And all of those other things fall as subsets of the purpose for which you have been set apart in Christ. If you follow the flow of thought in the book of Ephesians, you find the implications of salvation that was described in chapters 1 through 3 being worked out in personal morality in chapter 4, in the body of Christ in chapter 5, in a marriage relationship, in a parenting relationship, in the work relationship. And the reason for all of these things is that the great reality of salvation defines how you look at everything else in life, because you've been set apart for that purpose. Now, maybe you're fairly new to Christ. Maybe you're fairly new to this thought, and you say, man, I've never thought about it. I don't even know where to begin. Well, praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord for that, because now all of a sudden you understand why the Word of God is so precious and important to you. You need to know the Word of God if you're going to live this way. You need to know the Word of God if you are going to know the mind of the one who has set you apart to live for His purposes. And if I'm saying this in love, but there are times where you just got to be direct as a pastor. If the Word of God is not a regular, ongoing part of your life, you are missing the purpose for which you have been saved. Because it is in the Word of God, the 66 books of the Bible, where Christ makes known to His slaves how they are to live and the way that they are to fulfill their purpose of being set apart for Him. You can't intuit this. You can't guess at it. You have to know what the Word of God says. And so His Word then is more than an occasional part of life. If you happen to show up on Sunday, His Word is your daily bread. You need to be in His Word on a consistent, regular, if not daily basis, beloved. Because how are you going to fulfill the purposes of Christ if the one place where His purpose is revealed is closed on your shelf day after day after day? You say, but you don't understand. I've got work to do. I've got lots of things going on in my life. I'm really, really busy. To which I reply, friend, I don't think you understand. I don't think you understand. Because if you understood, you wouldn't be pitting your earthly busyness against devotion to Christ. You wouldn't even talk that way. If you understood that. And so, beloved, let me wrap this up. All of this has very practical implications. The life that you have right now is the life that God has given to you. He is in providential control of all of your circumstances, good, bad, indifferent, and accidental, seemingly. This is the life that God has given to you. Whether you like it or not, this is the life that God has given to you. If you are in Christ, you have been set apart by God to serve His purposes in exactly the life that He has given to you. If you're a young person, you say, I got a lot of days in my head. I better be thinking about how I can use those for Christ. If you're on the, if the sun is setting on life for you and you know you've only got a few more short days to live, principle's still the same. You're set apart to live for Christ in this particular place. And the thing that we all need to come to better grips with is this, is that the life that Christ has given to you and the salvation that He has given to you so graciously is not about you now fulfilling your ambitions on a personal level, and Christ is an accessory to help advance your agenda. Rather, the life that you have been given is the means in which and the means by which you are to serve Christ. And we can look at every area of our lives, of our family, of our jobs, of our relationships, of our church, of what we preach, of what we teach, of how we deal with our children. And we see in all of this, the Word of God is addressed at all. And we realize that what I am doing here is the service that Christ has given to me, that which I have been set apart to do. And so we have this position as saints. Great privilege, great, noble, highest purpose that could be given to a mortal being to live on life. You say, but I'm crushed. You don't know how hard life has been, and you don't know how the people closest to me have been betrayed me. And to which the answer to that is the same that it is to anything else. Yes, brother, I understand that. I sympathize with that. I'm sure that's difficult. But don't stop there. Understand that what you are to do now is to display how one lives for Christ in that situation. How do you serve Christ in that broken position? How do you live and manifest faithfulness to Christ there? Because He gave you the life and has set you apart to serve Him and to glorify Him in exactly the life that He's given to you. You don't have to be a pastor for this to be true. This is what every Christian does. This is how a Christian thinks about life. I'm a slave of Christ. I'm subordinated to a person greater than I am. I'm a saint in Christ Jesus. He has set me apart to serve Him in the life that He has given to me. God, help me to know what that looks like, that I might fulfill the very purpose for which I was saved. To be a saint here, one day to be set apart in glory for His honor and praise.
So our prayer today is that we continue to discover our true identity as a saint in Christ Jesus. When we do, we'll be positioned to live as God intends and to bring others into the kingdom as a result. And that concludes our series, Set Apart. Pastor Don Green will begin a new series on our next broadcast. Be here then on the Truth Pulpit. Right now, though, Don's back here in studio with some closing words.
You know, if you've benefited from this broadcast, we just ask you to do a simple thing. Go to our webpage or go to our Facebook page. Look us up on Facebook and just drop us a little note, just a word that would let us know that you've appreciated today's broadcast or the other aspects of our ministry. We would love to hear from you. Thank you for listening to the Truth Pulpit. We are grateful to Christ for you.
Thanks, Don. And friend, be sure to visit thetruthpulpit.com to learn more about this ministry. That's thetruthpulpit.com. I'm Bill Wright, and we pray you've been encouraged. We'll see you next time for more from the Truth Pulpit.